And then how late do the participants dance at night?
They have singers all night, they dance all night.
And as I understand...
Not all of them. Some of them can rest if they want to. They can sleep, see.
There's one thing I don't quite understand. When people talk about singers in connection with the Sundance, do they mean singers who are not participants? In other words,
they're
just other
crows? They're not. They're other crows that's on the outside, see. They're not participants of the dancers. And they come in and they sing for these people.
And
they're in groups, you see. They're in teams.
Oh.
See, there's not one group that sings all the time. Because that's pretty hard to do. You might sing for 2-3 hours. And they get tired singing, they leave, another team comes in. And if that happens all night, well, they dance all night.
Oh.
And if they're out of singers, and the singers all go to bed, why, no more singers, you can go to bed, see. Mm-hmm. But you got to get up before sunrise.
How do the singers get organized into teams?
Well, they're just in groups, you know. You take the lodge grass people here. You might say there'd be 15 boys that likes to sing here. Then might divide themselves into 5 each, see. They say, we'll sing so many hours. We go out, well, you can come in. And it happens with each district, see.
So it's just kind of a voluntary, loose organization.
Yeah, that's right.
And from one year to the next, there might be different groups.
That's right.
The people who are in one group for one Sundance might be split up in different groups another Sundance.
That's right.
It's not like the old warrior societies or anything like that were constant.
Then early in the mornings, they get up before sunrise. They're awakened by some of the older men that's in the hall. And there's one special song. It's a ceremonious song that you dance facing the sun. You start dancing before the sun comes up. Then you dance until the sun comes up.
I remember.
While you're dancing, you're praying, see. And after the sun comes up and the singer stops singing, then you sit around the fire and you sing 4 songs, ceremonious songs. After each song, you whistle 4 times. After that, the leader gets up and prays for the people. He puts on the cedar, smudges the hall, and he prays for the people. Or he can call on some elderly person that's in, participating in the dance, to do the praying, see. And that's every morning, for the 3 mornings.
I see. Do they go through pretty much the same ceremony each morning?
That's right, the same songs.
Do you have a tape recorder by any chance?
No, I don't.
If you ever get one, I'll be happy to give you the tape that I made of one of the morning ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very beautiful ceremony. And the tape turned out good, so.
Yeah.
Anytime, you just let me know, anytime you'd want it.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll give it to you anytime that you want.
Mm-hmm. My son has a tape recorder.
Do you happen to know what speed it runs at?
No, I don't.
Maybe we could find out and I can make it the right speed.
Yeah.
And then during the first full day, which I guess you call the second? No,
first day, second day, and the third day. And generally, the second day is when the people come in to be prayed for, see. The sick people to come in. Wants to be prayed for to get rid of their sickness.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that Maybe it takes all day, see, there's people coming in. And there's one, you might say, the medicine man. You see, the sponsoring person sometimes does not have the power to pray for the sick people. But he calls on somebody to do these things for him, see.
And that takes someone who has a power to heal.
That's right.
They don't do much dancing.
Some of them. If you like dancing, they dance.
Even if there's no singers.
Well, no singers, they don't dance.
I see. So they only dance when there are singers.
That's right.
I see. They bring out their medicine or make their stalls or anything like that, or when do they do this?
The second day is when they make the stalls. And the medicine man, they all come in with their feathers, you know, representing some power. But it's mostly the eagle feather.
What is the significance of the stalls, if any?
You get weak. You gotta hang on to something.
I see.
To stand on your feet. Mm-hmm. You gotta brace yourself.
And these are upright. I've never seen a stall.
They're upright. See, little trees, but like that. They're stuck in the ground. Well, if I'm sitting here, well, they'll have two for me, see.
Be about 2.5 feet apart or
just
something
about.
Like that?
And you might have to hold that to get up. And you have to probably hold that to brace yourself, see.
Yeah. And is there any cover put over the top of the stalls?
Or? No, just willows. Tied with willows. So we wouldn't pull them over, see.
Mm-hmm.
The only cover you have is leaves. If you get enough leaves, you get in the shade. If you don't have enough leaves, well, you're just in the sun.
I imagine it gets pretty hot sometimes.
Yes, it does. Sometimes that ground gets pretty hot. Burns your feet.
So you need the shade.
That's right.
Could you explain to me how they go about bringing out their medicine and doing that part of it?
It all depends on the person. How he seen these things, or how it was told to him what to do. On mine, see that doctor in there. There's an old man that prayed for me in the hall and told me that I wouldn't see any of these things until the next year, not to expect anything. That is the fifth time I went in. Towards spring, why I begin to have visions about how to doctor people, what disease he has. And you go into Sundance, and maybe you'll get a vision, there's somebody coming in. The power here is going to tell you what that person is, the sickness of that person. And he'll probably tell you how to doctor him, or how to pray for him, or how to use the feather on him. That's the power that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And not everybody has that power.
What?
I might hand it down to my son.
Who was it that you got your power from? Or who, I shouldn't put it that way, I guess, prayed for you?
John Creel. He prayed for me.
And then you got your power through the visions?
That's right.
Did you have to fast to get the visions?
That's right.
Did you go out in the hills to do that?
No. I got in Sundance. I fasted in Sundance. You see, there's two people that prayed for me. Three people. There's just John Trio from Fort Washington, and there was an old Sioux Indian that had this power. He prayed for me. And I have an uncle. That's Cinnabon from Fort Pitt. And he was one of these people who had this power in the Sundance.
What was his name?
Standing. He's dead now, an old man.
Was it William Standing, by any chance?
You know Bill Standing? He's my cousin.
Oh.
That's that artist.
Right.
That's his father.
I see.
And he just died here lately.
William Standing was a great artist.
Yeah, he was. He's got a brother that's still living. Bernard Standing. He's older than Bill.
Do the people paint themselves these days?
That's right.
And do
the father's supposed to paint, see?
Which they get instructions from visions.
That's right, from visions or from somebody that already has the power. It might represent a bird. It might represent a buffalo. It all depends on the vision of this man that's painting, see?
Mm-hmm.
So each participant, they call on their clan uncles to paint them if they want it. They don't want it, why they don't paint, see? All they do is dance and pray.
I've heard some mention of washing their faces. I don't understand that.
You're not supposed to.
I see.
You're not supposed to wash your face. But I see some here lately that do wash their face with lotions, you know. I don't think it's right, but they do it anyway, so I don't do it. I don't even wash my face.
Do you know why they wash their face?
I don't know. It's just... That's something you learn from the white man. Wash your face every morning. But during the fasting, from times immemorial, they don't touch water. Even when they're fasting out in the hills, they come back, they go in a sweat tube. Go through the sweat tube and then they go into the water and wash themselves off. And before they go out, they wash up, clean up, go into a sweat tepee, take a bath. That's for cleaning yourself, see. Then you go out. You come back, you do the same again.
In other words, you take a sweat bath before the sun dance and one afterwards?
Well, some of them do. I do that. I take a sweat bath. Wash up in the water, in the river, or the best place is the running water. Mm-hmm. You might say you purify yourself before you go in.
Do they still do this to try to get away from the smell of the man?
That's right. See, if you're going, if you participate, about the second day, start smelling. So you get empty in here and you can smell quite a ways, see.
Do the crows still have the feeling that the no-fires don't like the smell of a man?
Hmm?
Do the crows still have the feeling that the no-fires don't like the smell of a man?
That's right.
And the smudge helps out as well as the sweat bath.
That's right. Well, I gotta go in here now. I guess they're ready for me.
Okay.
So we might meet again sometime.
Well, I would very much like to talk to you several times, Mr. Cummins. I appreciate very much your courtesy.
Thank you. Okay, then.
Here's some cigarettes for you.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see you again.
Go ahead and keep going. Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, you bet.
The foregoing interview was conducted by Stuart Connor. John Cummins, who was a former chairman of the Crow tribe, was a person being interviewed. The interview took place on Sunday, October 17, 1970, or whatever date that Sunday is closest to that. Maybe it was the 18th or even the 19th. I've lost track of the time. It was terminated because Mr. Cummins was expected by his companions to enter a sweat lodge at that time. The interview was at the farm next to that of Mr. Cummins, just immediately downstream from Mr. Cummins' farm. We had only really barely begun when the sweat lodge was ready, and I could see the other men undressing for it. It was too bad to have it terminated that soon, but considering the difficulty I had in ever getting an interview at all, I guess it was reasonably successful. 2 weeks ago, I interviewed Roger Stops about the Sundance, and what Roger gave me was verified in every particular that I can recall by what John Cummins said. John Cummins is an experienced Sundancer and is generally regarded by the other crows as one of the three who are most experienced and might even have the status of medicine men for the Sundance.